Second guessing. Wesley. Can't get those photos out of my mind. It's Saturday night, no idea what she's up to, but she responds in 10 minutes.
Josie, maybe this will help get them out of your mind.
My phone says an image is loading. My pulse roars. Excitement pings through my every cell. Furtively, I scan the plane. It's dark and quiet, but I angle the phone even more so no one can see it. I'm not the first guy on my team who's angled his phone. I won't be the last. My mouth waters as I click it open. I push my fist against my mouth and bite my knuckle so I don't groan in pleasure. The shot is artful and dripping with desire all at once. It's like a slice of life and a moment of lust somehow combined. Looks like she's on the back deck of my house, with a glass of wine sitting on the wooden table at the edge of the shot. There's a charcuterie board on the table, too, with some grapes and fruit on it. But that's not where my gaze goes. The forefront of the shot is her hand on the side of her chest, looped around a black, lacy bra strap. She's tugging it slightly away from her skin. Skin I want to lick and kiss. Is that new? The bra? No idea. But the possibility that she bought a new piece of lingerie turns me into a furnace. I can't hold back. Wesley, is that new?
Josie, the charcuterie board? No, it's yours, Wes.
Even though she sent a text, I can hear my name said on her mouth. Can feel the vibration of the letters as she says them in a tease. All I want is to speed up time. Wesley, don't take it off yet. Too bad I have 2 fucking hours left. 2 hours to think. 2 hours to consider. 2 hours to debate. But really, was there ever any debate at all? Or to put it more accurately, I spent the last 6 weeks debating. The debate is over now. When we land, I'm off the plane before anyone else, turning on my car in no time, racing home through the streets of San Francisco at a record pace, then pulling into the garage and getting out of my car right as the garage door closes behind me. I don't waste a second. I leave my duffel on the floor and head up the stairs, not even bothering to tow off my shoes. If she's asleep, I want her to hear me. I want her to wake up. I want to make it worth her while. I scan the living room. No sign of Josie. I walk into the kitchen. It's quiet and clean. I stop at the sink, quickly wash my hands, then I march to her bedroom, ready to rip down the door. But it's wide open, and when I peer inside, she's not there. I need to see her right now. I stride to the back deck, a man on a mission. At the glass door, my heart stops, stutters. She's curled up in a deck chair, a blanket around her, reading a book under the soft floodlights, the glass of wine empty, her gaze steady on the e-reader. The heat lamp is on. I slide open the door. She looks up, parts her lips, roams her eyes up and down me.
Hey, you.
I'm wearing a suit, no tie. She takes me in for a beat, but before she can say another word, I close the distance to her. Lean in. Set a hand on the back of the chair next to her face. Hold her heated gaze. Now, I say. Take it off. Now.
Chapter 29. I get no respect. Josie. I've lived in my head for so long. I've studied the world down to the last detail, arming myself with information and insight for any situation. But there's no book to prepare me for this experience, for his demand. But I don't need one, it turns out. My body knows what it wants when Wes tells me to strip for him. On the back deck, with a cocktail of heat lamp and cool November air kissing my skin, I drop the blanket, set down my e-reader on the table, and reach for the zipper of my maroon hoodie, like I'm mesmerized by his order, eager to follow it. I don't need to research how to undress for your sexy roomie that you're a little caught up with. I just do. I tug down the zipper. The sound of each metal tooth sliding open unlocks me more. When my sweatshirt opens, I let the material fall to the seat of the chair, my chest rising and falling with an anticipation that's gripping me. Wes still has one hand pressed to the back of my chair. Like that, his gaze strays up and down my torso, then lands on my face. There's an I'm waiting look flashing in his sinful eyes.
Almost,
he says in a command. Sweet, hot tension curls through me. My breath comes fast and urgent as I reach for my bra straps and slide them down my arms, letting them fall to the crooks of my elbows. I bring my hands to my tits, taking my time, pushing the cups down, but only a little. Like this? I ask, my voice pitching up in playful curiosity.
Close,
he rasps out. With my head tilted, I lower the lace a little more, exposing the top of one nipple, a tease. How's this? Wes swallows roughly, a rumble escaping his lips.
All the way, Josie.
It's a demand now. I slide my teeth along my lower lip, savoring his reaction, then rewarding him as I push the cups down, freeing my tits. Is this what you had in mind?
Yes. Fucking yes.
It's full of filthy approval as he reaches out with his free hand, plucking at the fabric of my lacy bra.
I ask again, is this new?
I didn't reply to him before. I wanted to play. He clearly needs the answer now, so I give it to him. Yes. His breath is hot, shaky. He lets go of the chair back and drags his hand through his hair like he's steadying himself. The moonlight coasts across his handsome face, lighting him up for a few potent seconds. His stare is serious, but there are no questions in his eyes, no uncertainty on his face. This is a man who must have come through the door determined to fuck me tonight. That knowledge sends a blast of heat to my core. Then another rush comes when his hands cover my breasts and he kneads them. He's not at all gentle. Oh, God, I gasp. He rolls my right nipple with his thumb, then the other, then both at the same time, and I'm nearly flying out of the chair as pleasure twists in me. He squeezes my tits, nice and rough. I'm into this, I gasp out.
That makes two of us,
he says dryly. With a carnal groan, he drops one hand so he can drag a thumb along my jawline. Holding my face in his hand, he pulls me closer, then gently slides off my glasses, handing them to me. I set them carefully on the table. Then he crushes my mouth with his. The kiss is deep. His tongue urges me open, and I part my lips for him. He kisses like he plays hockey. He goes all out. His teeth are hard against my lips. His tongue is insistent. His hold is powerful. The kiss is downright dizzying, and soon my mind is fuzzy, full of static, like a machine going offline. And I want so much more. My hands snake up around his neck, and I try to pull him closer to me in the chair. He lets go of my mouth, drops to his knees in his tailored suit pants, and blazes a trail of open-mouthed kisses down my throat, then traveling to my collarbone, biting me. I yelp because it was unexpected, because I've never been bitten, and I like it. He dips his face to my breasts next, tugging one nipple into his mouth and biting again, too. I cry out as a sharp, delicious pain tinged with pleasure ricochets through me. Wes looks up, grinning wickedly, so damn pleased. He goes for seconds, kissing up my throat again, this time running his finger along my bottom lip, pressing it into my mouth. I moan as I suck on his finger. I wriggle, getting more turned on. I had no idea this would feel so filthy and free. He pushes in another. I swirl my tongue along both, sucking more. They taste clean, like he stopped to wash his hands before he came to me. And this thoughtful gesture makes me wetter. This attention to detail turns me on. I suck harder, squirming in the chair as his other hand ropes into my hair. He curls some strands around his fist and tugs. A breath staggers from me. He lets go, looking down at me, a wry grin forming on his handsome face.
I think I know what you're into.
They're my favorite words, and he knows it. What am I into? The question comes out as desperate as I feel. With a crook in his lips, he drops a hand between my thighs and squeezes me through my jeans. Roughly, like he's grabbing my pussy. Is that supposed to be hot? From a guy you like, I guess it is, because the temperature in me shoots higher. I like being manhandled by Wes. I like his size, his big hands, his rawness. He's a bedroom explorer, taking me down an unmarked trail, cutting down branches for me as we go. He slides a thumb under my chin, his dark eyes locking with mine as he says,
I think you want to be fucked by someone who's not gentle, by someone who's not polite, by someone who's figured out that smart girls like dirty sex.
That's a sticker the world needs. Yes, I gasp. This one does.
Then let's break that roomy rule so I can fuck you dirty.
This is not a drill. This is my wild, wicked life. Yes, now, thanks, I say, grabbing my glasses and putting them back on. He laughs, then reaches for my hoodie from the chair, offering a hand next. I take his as he tugs me to a stand. I pull my bra up so I'm not walking around tits-free, since that's awkward. Wes moves behind me as I go, setting his hands on my waist, kissing my shoulders while I walk through the sliding glass door into the home. He stops and shuts the door, but doesn't relent in his kisses. He's kissing the back of my neck as he locks it. Then, as we walk down the hall, I keep shuddering, trembling, moaning. I stop in the hallway, setting a hand on the wall. Wes, I can't focus when you kiss me.
Good. Don't focus.
But we'll never get to my bed. That stops him. He spins me around, making me face him. He's silent for a second, then says in a softer voice,
Come upstairs. Come to my bed.
I blink at the unexpected vulnerability in his tone. You've never invited me upstairs.
That was deliberate.
Why? Is it messy? I've never gone.
I know you haven't.
How do you know? Do you have cameras? He laughs, shaking his head.
No. I trust you.
Good. I wanted to respect your privacy. His lips curve up as he travels a hand over my bare arm, leaving goosebumps in his wake.
About that.
About respect? I ask to clarify.
Yes. You need to know why I didn't invite you up.
Okay, I ask, but I'm not nervous. I'm aroused. This is getting good.
Because all I've wanted since you moved in is to get you in my bed, Josie.
He slides his hand into my hair, gathers some strands, and tugs me closer like my hair's a leash. It's hotter than I would have thought.
And to fuck you, like I don't respect you.
A rush of heat whooshes down my body, settles in my core in a needy ache. Take me upstairs and fuck me like that right now. Adventurous Josie is in the house.
Chapter 30. Horny Gusto. Wesley. The second I open the door, I want to haul her against me and kiss her ruthlessly. But Josie's a processor. She'll want to see things. I turn on the light. She drinks in the room as I set down her hoodie on a chair. It's not like my bedroom is some inner sanctum of man secrets. I don't have a hunting knife hanging over the bed, or a collection of Star Wars bobblehead dolls I'm afraid to let anyone see. In fact, there's not much to it. It's just a big room I really like to sleep in, but I try to look at it through her eyes. She'll try to read me in the decor, because that's what she does. I scrub a hand over the back of my neck, tensing briefly. Didn't think of this before, but I hope she doesn't figure I'm a player since this room gives off that vibe. It's so sleek and monochrome that it screams Playboy cool when that's not who I am. The wooden flooring is polished. The walls are white and minimalistic, with hardly anything hanging on them. Just a couple black and white beauty shots of San Francisco. I asked the decorator to make it feel like I was part of this city, this team, these fans. But I didn't choose the pics, or hang them. On the far wall, a massive king-size bed takes center stage, its silver metal frame glinting under the light. The bed is covered in pristine white linen. Plush gray pillows are scattered by the headboard. There's one picture framed on the nightstand. I wince, hoping she doesn't think this means I don't like roots. I'm just not into decorating, but I hadn't thought how it might look to someone else. You're the first woman to see it, I say, scratching my jaw. Josie turns to me, a smile shifting her pretty lips.
Lucky me.
She sounds enchanted. Well then, I guess that's all it takes to show her I'm not a player. The truth trumps the decor. I smile back at her. Guess it's a little like a hotel room. Pretty sure you like those.
I do. They make me feel a little like I'm getting out of my comfort zone.
A wave of heat rolls down my spine. That's what she wants. To mix things up. Break up the routine. She came to the right guy. But before I can strip her naked and do unholy things to her, she zeroes in on the framed picture, beelining toward it on the nightstand. She stops, stares at it, then turns to me like she's busting me.
You have a picture of a dog.
It's a shot of a black and white collie mix catching a frisbee. Yeah, that's Frosty, my sister's dog. She adopted him a year ago. He's a senior, that's why she calls him Frosty. She blinks.
Your sister's dog? You have a framed photo of your sister's dog?
He's cute, I say easily, but maybe defensively. Shaking her head, Josie advances toward me.
Shut up. Nothing makes me want to lose my clothes faster than that.
Holy shit. This is my lucky night. Good, because you're about to, I say. Then jerk her against me so she feels the length tensing my pants. I kiss her, hard, unhooking her bra this time, then shoving her jeans down. She steps out of them. Last night, I began kissing the hinge of her jaw. Over text, you said no one had asked you what you're into.
Right.
She says, breathless, as I coast my mouth along her chin. Tell me what else you like. Tell me what you watch. I stop, meet her gaze, give a tug to a handful of her chestnut hair. Besides pigeon porn. She laughs, but then asks carefully,
Really?
Fuck yes. It's decisive. I want her to know I mean it completely. She nibbles on the corner of her lips, then breathes out, like she needs courage. I curl my hands around her hips. You're not going to scare me off, I say, since I sense she needs some reassurance that it's okay to crack open her box of turn-ons. I will treat them with care and, probably, horny gusto.
I've never told anyone.
That only makes me want to know more. Tell me, I say, a demand. But I hope she can hear the vulnerability in my voice. I want to be the man she shares her dirty wishes with. I'm not interested in foisting my likes onto her. It turns me on to give you everything you want, I add, so she's clear. I'm game to give her all her filthy fantasies. There's a pause, then she says,
If you insist.
I grind my dick against her, so she gets the message. I do. I fucking do. With a here-goes-nothing shrug, she says,
There's this site I like. It caters to women, and I find myself watching videos that have these types of scenes.
Then she tells me the scenes, the things, the wishes. I am blown away. The night I met her, our chemistry sparked, but I had no way of knowing she was so perfectly dirty. You want all that? I ask. She nods eagerly.
I do.
Good. Undress me, I say. And that's not technically on her list, but it's a necessary start. She reaches for the top button on my shirt and makes quick work of undoing it, pushing it off me. Then her eager fingers work to open my belt, the button, then the zipper. In no time, my pants are off and I'm down to my boxer briefs. I grab a fistful of her hair and jerk her close, planting a rough, bruising kiss to her mouth. Hooking my thumb into her panties, I shove them down. She steps out of them and stands before me, naked and glorious, wearing only her black and white glasses.
Disrespect me, Wes.
She says, get on your back, spread your legs wide, and show me how wet you are, I tell her, using her roadmap. A breath stutters across her lips as she complies, lying down, spreading those thighs, then gliding a hand between her thighs. I grab my shirt from the floor, carrying it as I walk toward her, watching her the whole time. This is what you did in your room the last few nights? Like a dirty girl? She strokes faster.
Yes.
You sure you didn't come up here? Get on my bed? Play with yourself right fucking here? She gasps.
I'm sure.
I tilt my head like I just don't believe her. You didn't go into my closet, flick through my clothes, put on one of my shirts, then sit on the edge of my bed and stroke that sweet cunt as you sniffed me on my shirt.
I didn't. I followed your rules.
She slides her arms into the sleeves, and my dick is a skyscraper. Holy fuck. That is the sexiest image ever in the world. Josie in my white dress shirt that smells like me, spreading her thighs, twirling a strand of hair, her glasses on. She turns her face to the collar and inhales. I burn. The equator has nothing on me right now. I shed my boxer briefs and her lips widen into an O. She strokes her pussy faster as she stares savagely at my dick. I grab my aching cock, give it a tug. The tip of her tongue flicks across her bottom lip as she watches me touch myself. My girl is hungry for my cock, isn't she?
I am,
she says. I give it a rough jerk so she can imagine easily how I fuck my fist to her. She arches as I tug. Slide two fingers between your thighs, I tell her as I let go and climb up on the bed. She obeys. Part those lips for me, I say, as I move between her knees. With her fingers in a V, she spreads her pussy lips, showing me how aroused she is. My dick jumps, eager to meet her again. I give it another pump. You're fucking soaked, I say in admiration.
You're fucking hard,
she counters. I love her sass, just fucking love it. I let go of my dick and drop my face between her thighs. I suck on her clit, mercilessly. The gust of breath tells me she's surprised. I suck harder, kissing her sweetness, lapping it up. She squirms against my face. One more deep, hot kiss. Then I stop, pull back, and coast my hand between her thighs, spreading all that wetness around some more. Then I lift my hand, the fingers wet from her. You want this, Josie?
You know I do,
she says. My girl really likes her dirty videos. I give her what she wants. I slap her pussy. For a second, I hold my breath, hoping she likes it, wanting her to like it, wanting her reality to match her research. The moment suspends, full of filthy desire as her blue eyes register shock. Then it's like a pulse moves through her, a vibration. She murmurs something incoherently, then whispers clearly,
again.
Guess she likes it. I lean in, kiss her sweet lips, then pull back, lifting my hand a second time before giving her a light slap once more. This time I use three of my fingers, right against her diamond of a clit. It's a quick smack, then I soothe it with a caress, spreading all that wetness around. I stare for a long breath at her pussy. She's glistening. Fuck, you look good like this, Josie, baby.
I'd look better on my hands and knees.
She taunts as she takes off her glasses, setting them next to Frosty's pick. I groan, then flip her over, pushing up the shirt to the middle of her lovely back, lifting her ass, spreading those pale, pretty cheeks. For a heady moment, I let myself enjoy the view of her like this, long, lean, and turned on. Lifting the shirt more, I move down her back, licking a path from her neck to the top of her ass, taking a beat to enjoy the flavor of her skin, that cinnamon scent that drove me wild the night I met her, that drives me even wilder now. I press a kiss to the top of her ass, and she shivers under me, murmuring against her skin. I lay another soft kiss to her skin. Then I'm not soft at all when I rope my arm around her, sliding my hand down, pushing one finger into her pussy, then two. She bucks.
Oh my God,
she says, her breath halting. Her body knows what it wants, though. She starts to fuck back on my fingers. I crook them, kissing the top of the small of her back as I fuck her ruthlessly with my fingers, like she wants. Two. Then three. A hot, possessive kiss, a deep, greedy finger fuck. Then I smack her ass with my free hand till she says,
Wes, fuck me, please, now.
I ease out my fingers. You want my cock?
I do.
Say it, I demand.
Fill me with your cock.
Beg for it, I encourage her.
Please fill me with your big dick.
That's my dirty girl, I say. Then I let go so I can sit back on my heels. After reaching for a condom, I cover my dick, then get on my knees behind her, angling her up. Look at you. So fucking wet, you're dripping, I say. Then I smack the head of my cock against her clit. She moans a keening sound, carnal and inviting. I do it again till she's writhing, pushing her body back, asking for more and more. I give it to her, slapping the tip against her clit till I'm raw nerve endings and she's nothing but a chorus of,
Please, please, please.
I angle up her cheeks, giving me more room to slide my cock into the warm, welcoming home of her pussy. The very second I'm sliding in, my mind snaps, wires, fry, circuits, blow. This is so damn good. The heat, the friction, the tightness, the way she wants me, the way I want her, the way she's asked for it. She's perfect for me. Here in my white dress shirt, on her hands and knees, she cranes her neck back to watch me as I fuck her deep. Like the view? I ask dryly as I sink into her.
I do.
She moans. How about this? I ease out, leaving her empty, making her beg for more. I slam back in and we set a pace like that. A little relentless, a lot hungry as she swivels her hips, taking me deeper. The room fills with grunts and groans, then a demand from Josie.
Smack my ass again.
My dick gets even harder. Feels like granite now as I lift a palm and smack. She cries out. I soothe the red mark with my hand. A gentle caress that doesn't last too long. I lift it again.
Harder.
She begs. I smack her. And she yells an oh god but clenches around my cock at the same time. She's so tight and wet and eager. And now she's fucking back onto me with ruthless abandon. As she chases her pleasure, I thrust deep inside, then ease out, making her wait till I slap that cheek with my hand, leaving a beautiful red mark. She's panting and moaning and seemingly lost to the moment. It's perfect. So perfect. How my wild girl gives herself to me. As I fuck her, my hand travels up the smooth flesh of her back, then into her hair. I curl a fist around her chestnut strands as I cover her with my body. You like it like this, baby?
I do.
She says. Then my other hand slips between her thighs and finds her eager clit. And I pinch it. Her scream is the stuff of my filthy dreams. It's erotic and carnal and all mine. I pinch again, then caress her clit. Josie's back is arching, her tits are swinging, and her face is twisted.
I want to come.
She whispers in a needy plea. I know you do, baby, I say. Then I repeat the motions. Fuck. Pinch. Soothe. I rinse. Lather. Repeat. Till she's bowing her back and chanting.
Yes, yes, yes.
Only thing left for me to do is not break her rhythm. I fuck her hard as she curls her fingers into the sheets, clawing at them. Her whole body tenses beautifully, gripping my cock as she comes with a groan that lasts forever and not nearly long enough. Her arms slide out from under her. She lets her face fall to the mattress, but her ass is still high up in the air. So hot it's almost all I need. It occurs to me that I could finish like this. It'd be so damn easy to fuck her for 30 more seconds till I tense and spill. But I want more. I want to look at her. I want to see her. I want to experience her. All at once it hits me. I don't just want hard, rough, dirty sex with her. I pull out. Josie, I gotta see your face, I say, desperation coloring my tone.
Yeah?
I do, I say urgently, then I loop an arm around her waist and shift her to her back. She lifts her arms above her head, stretching out languidly, an invitation to take her tenderly. The shirt is open. She pulls up her knees, giving me room, beautiful and aroused. My heart catches in my chest, stops, then speeds up again. You're stunning in my shirt, I tell her as I slide in.
Does it make you feel possessive?
Yes. You look so fucking hot in my clothes, I say, filling her all the way, then pulling back. Want to see you in my jersey.
That's so, number 16?
The image is too much. I shudder, lust shooting down my back in punishing waves. Want it so badly, I say. Then I slow the pace, taking my time, easing in, out, pushing up, bracing myself, watching those blue eyes sparkle beneath me. Want you so much. Want you more every day. More than the night I met you.
Same.
She whispers, the playfulness slinking off. We turn quiet, the sex slower, the mood more tender. She wraps her arms around my neck, then loops her ankles around my ass. I follow her lead, slow fucking her for a few mind-bending minutes. It feels like the room is spinning, or maybe it's my heart in my chest that's spinning out.
You're fucking me like you respect me now,
she says, her throat catching. The sound goes straight to my chest, squeezing it. Is that a problem? Say no. Say fucking no. She shakes her head.
I like this too.
Good. Same here, baby. I move in her till she's panting again. Then I rise up to my knees, grab her hips, and drive in deep, rubbing her clit with my fingers till she's shuddering and grasping at the sheets. But she doesn't seem to want to hold on to the covers. Instead, she reaches for me. Grabbing at my hair, she comes again. It's so sexy, I can't stand it, and pleasure barrels into me, blurring out the night, the city, the whole damn world. My thighs shake and my body tenses. I come so hard my mind blanks out for a long minute or more. When it comes back online, I'm sure we broke our roomie rule, but sure too we're on a collision course to smash others. Maybe ones we didn't even set. Unwritten rules like, don't fall for your roommate. Though, I'm pretty sure I broke that one a while ago. The rest is just details.
Chapter 31. No ghost here. Josie. The internet can prepare you for a lot of things, orbit-shattering orgasms among them. But can it truly prepare you for the back-to-earth moments after the O? Like when you need to, well, clean up? It's all so terribly awkward once the penis slips out. Excuse me, I say a minute later, then hop out of bed and dart into the ensuite bathroom as quickly as I can, leaving Wes to dispose of the condom. I straighten up, pee, wash my hands, and reemerge into his bedroom. Wesley must have ditched the protection quickly. He's now lying on top of the covers, arms parked behind his head, skin sweat-slicked, looking entirely too sexy and sated. The moment's still weird, though, because do I go home? As in downstairs? Do I stay here? No research prepared me for this truth of modern sex. Banging your hot-as-hell roomie is great until you have to figure out who's kicking who out of bed. My stomach flips with fresh nerves as I take tentative steps in my birthday suit into the bedroom. But I stop near the doorway, the entrance to the stairs just beyond. So, I begin. Translation? What's next? Wes rolls his eyes.
Get the hell over here, Winters,
he says, patting the bed. My body throws a parade, confetti and ticker tape raining down inside me. Feeling wanted, I hustle my naked booty back to bed and flop next to him. I grab my glasses and slide them back on. He props himself on his side, parks his head in his hand.
Were you going to sneak out?
He sounds playful as he calls me on it. Is it sneaking out if I live here too? I counter, even though I'm still uncertain. How do you go from having great sex to not knowing what to do next? Why didn't I do my homework on that?
Yes, it's sneaking out, so don't do it.
He says, still so bossy. I say, but I think I love his bossy side. It settles me, makes me feel comforted. My chest is warm and my cells are a little fizzy. He tugs me closer, buries his nose in my hair.
The hotel pillow smelled like cinnamon that morning when you were gone. Your lotion, right?
My heart sprints. He remembered what I told him at the ice cream shop the night we met. Yes, good memory.
I was hoping you were going to still be there, at the hotel in the morning.
He murmurs, sounding lost in time as he absently strokes my hair while revisiting our first night together. I feel lost in time too, but in this heady moment. I was hoping you'd find me, I say, admitting something I hadn't fully processed that morning. Something I didn't truly realize till I bought a cactus to get his last name.
I'd thought it might be a clue, a line in your letter.
Which line? There's no hesitation as he says,
maybe I'll see you around the city. It's big, but it's small too, you never know.
You memorized it? Each word lands with space between them.
I did.
He says easily, like that's all there is to it. But it's a big deal for anyone to memorize three lines. Only, I don't make too huge a thing of it. I hold on to this nugget for safekeeping in a drawer full of special memories. Maybe it was a clue. I think I was hoping I'd see you again. I say, admitting that now, too.
Then I found your scarf, Cinderella.
He says, recounting more of that morning as he nuzzles my hair again.
I had it all packed up to return to you the morning after our first game. I'd even written you a letter asking you out.
My heart is a pinwheel, fluttering in a spring breeze. You told me you wrote me a letter, too. He said as much the morning we baked. Do you still have it?
I do.
I want the letter, I say impulsively. No one has ever asked me out in a letter. His smile is smug as he rustles around in the bed, reaching for the nightstand drawer. Then he slides it open. He removes a sheet of paper and hands it to me. My heart is beating loudly in my ears as I open it, then wildly in my throat as I read.
Hey, Josie. You left this behind, and I'm honestly glad you did. I'm returning it since it's yours, but also because I'd really like to see you again. Can I show you around San Francisco sometime soon? Wesley Bryant.
It's so simple and so perfect. I clutch it to my chest, closing my eyes, my cells flooding with sunshine. His lips sweep over my shoulder once more.
Guess it was just a matter of timing.
He murmurs against my skin. Timing. That's always been the challenge for us. I open my eyes and meet his. They're full of longing and want. Our timing hasn't always been right, has it? He shakes his head, his tone sad as he says,
no, it hasn't.
And it still isn't. Timing is the reason I'll have to move home far too soon. And I don't want to push anything now. I don't want to define this. But I do want, I'm just realizing it this very second, more of him. I'm scared to ask for it, though. Scared to figure out what this new thing with us is. What if this moment is just pillow talk?
Hey, what's going on?
Wes asks. If I went to improv, I can do this. It's okay to be afraid. I like you. A lot, I say. He laughs, smiles, and then covers my mouth with a kiss before he says,
it's so mutual.
He reaches for my hand and slides his fingers through mine.
Was that hard to say?
I had one serious boyfriend in college, and then after college we dated two, I say, then quickly backpedal. I'm not suggesting this or that we're having a, or anything, but just that a lot of this is new to me. I haven't been with anyone in a while. He understands what I haven't said out loud, since he nods, then says,
I haven't been with anyone in a while. Not since New York. I dated a woman there, Anna.
He says, and I remember what he said about her. That she said he didn't like anything but hockey. She was the one who wanted him to debate philosophical issues with her. He drops another kiss to my shoulder.
It's different with you, Josie.
The world halts, slowing to this moment, to that admission, to the thing every person longs to hear, that were special to someone else. I touch his cheek, tracing a line along his jaw. It's different with you, too. I don't entirely know what that means, or where we're going, or what we're doing, but I'm sure tonight isn't a one-time thing. I settle into the crook of his arm, then run my fingers over the ink covering his right arm. I think I've figured them out. Your tattoos.
Decipher me, then.
I trace the dog. You're into dogs. You want one, so the dog is like a goal.
Yes.
I run a finger along the music notes. The music is your love for songs and lyrics. It's your present, but also your purest interest.
You're too observant,
he says, sounding ridiculously pleased. And then you have these sunbursts, I say, traveling along the thick black lines that curve and bend near his shoulder. What are they for?
Passion, desire, bravery,
he says simply. I sit with that for a minute, considering the meaning behind them. Who you want to be, in your job and in life? Wesley's gaze catches mine, and he holds it for a long, potent moment. His eyes are dark brown pools, and it feels like the air is shimmering between us.
You know me,
he says easily, but that can't have been easy to say. I think I do, I whisper.
You do.
He cups my face and presses a gentle kiss to my lips.
Stay the night.
I had a feeling he was going to say that, but I needed to hear it. I curl up next to him, terribly unsure of what will happen in the morning, but incredibly okay with the uncertainty. His eyes flutter closed as he coasts a finger along the scar on my chin, then kisses it before he falls fast asleep.
Chapter 32, Monster Size, Wesley. I wake up to a note from my dad blinking at me on my phone. Dad, what's the verdict? Lunch today? We can go to a new bowl place by the marina. And I've been thinking, if Frida's artwork isn't your style, I can take you shopping for something else for the walls before your session with Domingo this afternoon. As I drag a hand through my bedhead hair, I snort a laugh. The dude is relentless, but I guess I did say I'd connect with him today. Josie Russell's. Shit. I didn't want to wake her. She turns to me, eyes fluttering open, question marks in them. I waggle the phone. It's my dad. I think he acknowledged that Frida's art is horrifying, but of course it's wrapped around reminders of what he wants me to do today.
Sounds like a new version of a sandwich compliment, a sandwich admission.
She says sleepily, then stretches. Damn, she looks good in my bed, her hair fanning out on the pillow, her cheeks flush. That's him for you, I say, debating whether to reply to my dad right now or not.
You and he have a complicated relationship,
she says, an observation rather than a question. We do. He's intense, so a little controlling, I say in an obvious understatement. But she's seen the fridge, she knows my schedule, and she's aware I work out after games too, and that dad hired a personal coach for me as well. He wants the best for me though, always has.
That probably makes it even more complicated,
she says with a sympathetic smile. Yeah, it really does. He's a great agent, though. The deals he's landed for me have been top-notch, both with the teams and endorsements.
Maybe because you're a great player.
I glance over at her, all soft and morning sexy. Maybe, I say absently. Then what the fuck? Why the hell am I talking about my agent slash dad while I'm in bed with this woman? I toss the phone on the nightstand, far away, then slink a hand around her stomach. Play hooky with me today.
What?
She asks it like she's never heard of the concept. I pinch her side. Did you ever skip class? Her jaw drops, she swats at my chest.
Wesley Bryant.
I laugh. Is that a no? She narrows her brow at me all stern. Librarian stern, come to think of it. And I don't mind.
Of course I never skipped a class. Why would I?
To have fun, I counter with a smirk. She lifts her chin primly.
Class is fun.
This woman, she's the total opposite of me. Yet that doesn't seem to matter. I drop a kiss to her nose. You're such a hot nerd. Narrowing her eyes, she growls at me.
And you're such a sensitive jock. So there.
then you should understand why I need to play hooky with you. It will help my sensitive side, I say, laying it on thick. She rolls her eyes.
Right, sure.
She takes a beat.
Also, I don't have work today, so there's no hooky to play.
But I bet you are going to do errands or read a book or research something, so play hooky from that. I refuse to give up. She winces.
I signed up for a walking tour of the marina this morning with a local city guides group.
Damn. That means she's taking off soon, even though I'm intrigued. That sounds fun, actually.
See? This is why I don't play hooky, because other things are fun.
When is it? The tour? She peers at the digital clock on my nightstand.
In an hour and a half?
I could offer to tag along, but the thing is, I'd rather have her to myself. I go in for the kill. I nuzzle her neck, grazing my mouth along her skin up to her ear. I bet I can convince you to skip it. With a hitch in her breath, she asks,
How would you convince me?
Another kiss, then a flick of my tongue against her ear, while my hand coasts down her stomach. Let me fuck you again, and then take you out for that second date instead. She stops, squirming. Something I can't quite read flickers in her blue eyes. A question, perhaps? She parts her lips, like she's going to ask me something after all. But she must think better of it, since she says,
Let me brush my teeth first.
I'll do the same. A minute later, our minty fresh mouths meet, and I pull her on top of me, kissing her as the morning light streams through the windows, running my palms along her sun-kissed skin. As she melts into my touch, I slide a hand up her breasts, over her chest, to her neck. She loves when I touch her there. I don't press too hard, but I do curl my palm around her throat, gently, and hold her close as I cover her mouth with mine. It's the kind of slow, sultry kiss that has her moaning, arching, asking. Then, I fuck my roommate, and I don't think once about the things or the people I'm avoiding. Why would I? I've convinced my roommate to go on that long-awaited second date with me. This is winning. An hour or so later, I do write back, telling my dad I'm hanging with a friend today, but I won't miss my training session with Domingo this afternoon. It's one thing to skip lunch with dad, it's another to blow off a trainer. That's just rude. But I do feel a little rebellious, in a good way, and in a necessary way too, as I send that note. Maybe that's why I never confirmed lunch plans with him last night. Maybe I knew on some level I was going to have other plans for today. Plans with her. I tuck the phone in my jeans pocket and head down the hall with Josie. When we reach the foyer, that inquisitive look from earlier returns to her face. The one that says she wants to ask something. Or maybe she's working her way up to it.
Wes.
She begins as I grab the car keys from the table. Yes? But she shakes her head, walking toward the stairs to the garage.
It's nothing.
Nope, it's not nothing. It's never nothing. Josie, I say, my tone firm. I'm not worried, but I do want to know what's on her mind. What's going on? She stops in her tracks before she goes down the stairs. She turns around, resolute now.
You said this was a date, right?
A knot of tension forms in my gut. I thought it was crystal clear I was asking her out. Well, yeah.
But...
She lifts her hand, waves it toward the home.
What about the roomie rule?
We broke that, didn't we? I ask wryly, but it doesn't quite land as a joke. Because she's not only referring to sex. We both know this thing with us isn't just about what happens between the sheets. I clear my throat, giving her the gravity she deserves. Are you asking what it means that I'm taking my roommate on a date? She shrugs, smiling, looking uncomfortable.
What do we do in public? Like if someone sees, you're not exactly nobody.
Oh. I hadn't thought about that. It barely occurs to me, though it probably should. I do get recognized from time to time. I am a public figure. And roomies or not, I'm still working with her brother, but I don't think either one of us wants to deal with whatever that means now. Heaving a sigh, I think this through. I'm not sure I know the right answer. For now, maybe it's best if we... I stop and gesture from her to me. Keep this between us? she freezes. And I've said the exact wrong thing. I'd better fix it, stat. I step closer, reach for her hand. I don't mean a dirty secret like an affair. I just mean let's keep it between us as we figure it out. Only I don't know what we're figuring out. She's leaving and I'm staying, and we live together. I don't know if she'd even want more than a simple arrangement if we didn't have those obstacles between us. Just because I'm developing feelings for her. Liar. You already possess monster feelings. Doesn't mean she's on the same page I am. I don't want to pressure her, though. What if we don't rush to define this, I suggest. Even though I want to define it, I want to stake a claim on her. And I want to tell the whole damn city I'm dating the most incredible woman I've ever met. Yeah. Monster fucking feelings that I have to tamp down for now. She tucks a strand of chestnut hair behind her ears, seemingly satisfied.
That works, especially since I have no idea how he'll react.
The fact that she doesn't say her brother's name tells me she's a little worried.
Also, I don't feel like a dirty secret,
she says, curling a fist around my shirt.
But you should keep fucking me dirty in secret.
Her eyes twinkle with mischief, and I close the short distance between us, grab her ass, and give her a rough kiss. It's a deal. That settled, we head down the stairs to the garage, where I open the car door for her. She slides into the front seat, and I head to the driver's side. Finally, a month and a half later, I'm getting the second date I wanted. I pull out onto the street and slow to a stop at the red light. I steal a glance at her. Fuck the rules. I lean across the console, grab her jaw, and kiss her. Maybe to prove a point that I'll do this soon. Then I take her for our second date at last, though it hardly feels like a second one. Route 101 Diner is not a roadside diner like the name implies. More like a waterside one, since it sits inside the ferry building on the Embarcadero, overlooking the glittering bay. A vintage neon sign beckons us, giving the place a mid-century feel. The walls inside are decorated with black and white photos from the 101, the highway that runs along the California coast, overlooking the ocean. We settle into a booth that comes equipped with a mini jukebox. I nod to it. You can pick show tunes, or pop, or Taylor, I say.
You're assuming that's what I like,
she counters. I laugh. Josie, I've heard you singing in the shower.
Touché,
she says, then opens the menu. After we order, veggie burger and fries for her, chicken sandwich and a salad for me, which isn't entirely cheating on my meal plan, it's just bending it. I say, this is where I was going to take you if I'd given you that scarf and the letter.
But you wouldn't have been able to use that you can pick show tunes line,
she teases.
You didn't know that then.
Scoffing, I eye her up and down. I'd have guessed. You give off that vibe. She stares me down, but she's smiling.
Why's that?
Is it weird if I say because she likes makeup? Because she's got a girly side to her? Because she wears fake lashes? At least, I think they're fake. Never seen anyone with lashes that long for real. But I like Josie with makeup and without makeup. I find a different path to an answer. Probably because of the way you were with your friend that night. You seemed close, made me think you were a girl's girl.
I am,
she says, her shoulders straightening.
Good guess.
I tip my chin toward her. So tell me more about you. What do you do for a living?
Are you recreating the second date we never had?
Her smile touches down straight in my chest, stirring my heart. Yes?
I'm in town working at a library, and it's turned out to be an incredible job.
Yeah. Even though we talk about her job often, I'm still dying to know all the details about it.
My boss is smart and sarcastic, and my colleagues are fun. We played trivia the other night, and I destroyed them. It was very satisfying.
Winning can be like that, I say. Have you always wanted to be a librarian? She nods enthusiastically.
Pretty much, but especially once I learned what it entailed. Maintaining records, finding information, and helping people connect with books of all kinds. It's been a dream job my whole life.
I get that completely. Same thing for me, with hockey. But I don't want to focus on me. So this job you have now, is it a dream job? Her smile is somehow both excited and wistful.
Yes, except it's temporary, but it's amazing. My boss has given me a lot of autonomy. I started this new thing called Your Next Five Reads, and it's going really well.
She says, then tells me more about an online recommendation service she started. That does sound pretty cool, I say, but something doesn't add up. You're doing all these great things. Why does it end? Why is it a temp gig? Is it too obvious I don't want it to reach the finish line of us? Sadness flashes briefly in her eyes, but then she seems to blink it off.
It's fine,
she says, her tone cheery and bright.
It was never supposed to be more than temporary. The library landed a special grant for its digitization center from a nonprofit that was founded a couple years ago. It's pretty unusual, but the library was able to use that funding to hire a digital specialist for a few months. It's just a contract post.
What happens in January? Where do you go? Will you miss me? Those questions form on my tongue, but I swallow them down. Now's not the time to talk about the new year. It might never be a good time to talk about it. Her situation is different from mine. Hell, she lost her short-term rental mere days after moving to the city. And heck, I may own my own place, but I know as well as anybody that the cost of living in the city isn't exactly free. I can't be a pushy dick about where she'll live or go while she's sorting out her life. She's here for now, and that has to be good enough for me. They're lucky to have you, I say. If you were my librarian growing up, maybe I'd have liked books more. She shoots me a challenging look.
So let's play this out. A young Wesley Bryant comes to my library and crushes on librarian me? That's not weird at all.
Hey now, this is a college fantasy. In it, I'm 18, it's my freshman year, and I find you in the stacks at school. Your hair's up in a bun. You're wearing a black skirt, a tight white blouse, and black heels. You're shelving a book, but you can't reach the tallest shelf even though you're stretching, and your skirt's riding up. She leans back in the booth, crossing her arms and staring at me pointedly, her eyes dancing.
Tell me you watch librarian porn without telling me you watch librarian porn.
Don't need to watch it, I say, then tap my skull. My brain makes it right here free of charge, has for the last month and a half. She dips her face, hiding a smile at the clear compliment before she says,
Then what happens next in your librarian fantasy?
I lean closer. Parking my elbows on the formica, locking eyes with her as I drop my voice to an even raspier tone. I slide the book in for you. You lick your lips as you watch it go right in. It fits perfectly. You thank me. Then I ask if you can help me find a good one to open up.
And what do you say?
I say I'd like to find a good one on 10 things a man can do to please a woman he's a little obsessed with. Her cheeks go pink.
Sounds like you've already read it.
I shake my head. No, I haven't finished it. It's something I want to read every night. It keeps me up late. She rolls her lips together like she's holding in a gasp, then whispers,
You should keep reading.
I will, I say, feeling like at least we've figured out that much. Whatever this thing between us is, it's not ending. The next morning, when I'm coming down the stairs early to drive Josie to work, she's standing in the kitchen wearing a black skirt, a white shirt, and heels. Her hair is twisted in a bun with a few strands coming loose. Her lips are glossy and pink. I hate to be the one to tell you this, I say when I reach the kitchen.
Hate what?
That you're going to be late for work. She glances at the clock in the microwave.
Wes, I can't be late.
She sounds sad. I look her up and down in her perfect outfit, down to the heels and, of course, her glasses. She's my librarian fantasy. You're right. You can't be, I say. Then I loop an arm around her waist and tug her against me. She bites the corner of her lips, but then shakes her head.
I mean it.
I know you do, baby, I say, dropping my face to the crook of her neck, and pressing a soft, barely there kiss to her skin. But...
But what?
She asks, breathily. Did you know that clock in the microwave is 5 minutes fast? She gasps.
Wes!
I pull back. Got 5 minutes?
That's not much time,
she says. I slide a strand of hair behind her ear, running the pad of my finger along the shell. I'll have to be very, very focused. But before I can spin her around and lift her onto the counter, she grabs my hand and pulls me into the living room. Then she shoves my chest, pushing me down onto the couch. Taunting her is officially my best idea ever, as she hikes up her skirt to her thighs and drops to her knees. Fuck me. In no time, she's tugged down my shorts and my briefs and is flicking her tongue against the head of my cock. She sucks the crown just past those gorgeous pink lips, and I shudder out a harsh breath. Fuck, Josie, I mutter. With a goddess grin, she drops my dick, takes down her bun, and says,
"You've got less than 5 minutes to make my lipstick messy. Better get to work, stud."
It is on. I grab her head, rope my hands through her lush hair, and guide her back onto my hard dick. She slides her palms up my thighs while she takes me deep with barely a second thought. Like she's showing off, she sucks hard, voraciously, all while keeping her eyes on me. I curl my hands tighter around her skull as her lips stretch wide, inviting me to fuck her throat. A few pumps, and I'm shaking, groaning. Hell, I'm lifting my hips off the couch and fucking her invitation of a mouth. My balls tighten, my thighs shake. My chest is overheating, pleasure crackles in my whole body as I thrust past those lush lips till she coughs. "You okay?" I ask as I pull out. She lifts a stern brow.
2 minutes, Wes. You want to talk or you want to come?
I close my eyes, smiling like a lust-struck fool. This woman. I shut my mouth and fuck hers till an orgasm marches through my body, slamming into me as I warn, "Coming." And she sucks me dry. My vision is still blurry when she rises, adjusts her skirt, and says,
"Be right back."
When I look down, though, there's a pair of panties on my lap, and they're soaked. I'm going to need to make her come many, many times tonight to thank her for that 5-minute drill. A few minutes later, we get in the car, with just enough time to take her to her little library. Time always seems to be running out with us, and the next 6 weeks will go by so much faster than I want them to. Once we're on our way to the Upper Haight, I return to the thing that brought us together in the first place. "We should figure out number 6 soon. Volunteer," I say, reminding her of her aunt's top 10 list. Along the way, we toss out ideas and maybe plans to pick one this weekend. And by the time we near the library, we've narrowed it down to a few options. But when I pull up after passing the fire station, she gestures casually to the guys outside milling around the fire truck.
"That reminds me, the Friends of the Library Association is having a pancake fundraiser at our library in partnership with the fire station this weekend. We'll have to do our volunteering after."
I glance back at the station. It's teeming with guys who look like they belong in a fireman calendar. I grit my teeth, then breathe out hard. I breathe out fire. With firemen?
"Yes, that's who usually works at a fire station,"
she says dryly. I stare back at the scene in front of the firehouse. Yeah, there's easily a dozen firemen, the type that everyone crushes on. "I'll pitch in at your fundraiser. That can be our number 6.
"But don't you have morning skate and a nap schedule to adhere to?"
she asks, but she's not being mean. Just the woman who knows me so well. "I do," I reply, because she's right. The fundraiser starts early, though. "But I can serve pancakes and still make it to the rink for morning skate, then hit the hay."
"A regular Superman,"
Josie muses.
"You'll really help?"
One of the firemen seems to linger on my car, or more specifically, the woman inside it. I growl. "Yeah, I'll absolutely be there. Since no way am I letting the fireman snag a chance to hit on my sexy librarian. She's mine. Well, for another 6 weeks she damn well is. And fuck anyone who tries to take her."
Chapter 33. If you give a pig a pancake. Josie. At work on Friday morning, I bite into a brownie. and it's so sinfully good, I moan shamelessly. Eddie chews his and whimpers loudly. Talia devours hers and groans for days.
Dolores can never leave us,
she says of the dark chocolate treat, courtesy of the children's librarian. Someday, maybe they'll feel that way about me. But I keep that thought to myself, focusing on my colleague's baking prowess instead. I swear I'm going to find a way to get her brownie recipe from her.
Good luck, sister. I've been trying for years,
Eddie says, shaking his bald head. I can see why, I say as we finish off our brownies before the vultures from circulation can descend on them. When we're done, I head to the digital center on the second floor. Talia catches up with me on the staircase.
Question for you, Josie. Do you think you could do a display for us at the fundraiser tomorrow of your next 5 reads recommendations?
Did she just say a display? Like a display of books? I'm salivating.
Yes, for different combos of books?
It comes out like I'm on helium.
Yes, maybe 3 or 4 sets total, different genres for a table by the pancakes to get the word out about the online recs you've been doing.
Yes, I say. Possibly I sound louder than I do when Wesley makes me come. That's something he's done every night this week. If I'd known having regular sex with your roommate was going to be so fun, I'd have started it sooner.
That would be great, Talia says, and I'm doubly excited for tomorrow, both to make a display and to spend more time with Wes.
I'm not so excited about my inbox, though. I haven't heard a word from the nonprofit that sent me here. I've already gotten 2 rejections for grants. They were long shots, but still, it stings. Then I found a job opening in Marin County earlier this week and submitted my application in mere seconds, only to be shot down the next day. Talk about disheartening. I try to remind myself that there's time. Maybe I need to tell Talia that I'd love to stay. What if she could help? What if she knows someone? I haven't said a word yet because I wanted to prove I could do a good job first. Best not to come in hot in your first several weeks on a job and say, "Hey, boss, can I stay?" But she's also not a mind reader, so she'll only know I want to stay if I tell her. Before I go to the center and she goes to the reference desk, I stop next to a display of romance novels that'll keep you up all night, swallow some courage, and say, "There's something I wanted to talk to you about." Her eyes turn serious and she stops walking too.
"Sure, what is it?"
I hope I don't sound as nervous as I feel. For someone who likes to escape into books rather than sales pitches, this is so hard. I try to keep my tone calm and upbeat, though. I love the work I do here. I think I've done a good job, and if there's any way I could stay on, I wanted to let you know I'd say yes in a heartbeat.
You have done a great job, she says, but her smile is of the let-you-down variety.
The budget's tight, though. We're all feeling it citywide, but you know I'll give you an excellent reference for anywhere. My stomach sinks,
but nope, that won't do. Chin up. It'd be a fairy tale ending if she waved her magic wand and said, "Oh, you want a job? I have one. Take it."
A good reference is a critical step in my stay here plan.
And I will keep my eyes open, too, for any jobs in the city. Would that help?
Immensely. I'd be so grateful, I say. She crosses her fingers.
Let's get you a full-time gig here.
I start the workday glad I told her after all. Maybe I'll find the guts to tell Wes soon, too. Early the next day, I put the job hunt out of my mind, since it's time for the fundraiser. Budgets are definitely tight if we need pancakes to lure patrons. But then again, that's how it's always been in my field.